You are listening to WPVM LP 103.7 in Asheville, North Carolina, and globally at WPVMFM.org.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. Mostly cloudy skies across the mountains today. Showers and thunderstorms likely. A high near 85 here in town. A chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with patchy fog after midnight. A low around 67. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms Monday afternoon. Patchy fog to start the day, then mostly sunny with a high near 88. I'm Johnny Cottle on Radio Asheville 103.7.
When systems fail, where do you turn for truth and resilience? Welcome to the Resilience Realm with host Dawn Westmoreland, Air Force veteran, author, and resilience advocate. Each week, Dawn brings powerful voices, attorneys, mental health experts, veterans, and leaders sharing courage, boundaries, and real-world resilience strategies. Broadcast on the Pacifica Network and WPVM-FM and featured on over 100 radio, TV, and podcast platforms nationwide. This isn't just a show. It's a movement for courage, ethics, and justice. Tune in Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern or listen anytime online. Visit DawnMarieWestmoreland.com.
Hey everyone. For those out there that are entrepreneurs, you know how valuable your time is and your skills are. Today I have John Ray, and he's a consultant, and we're going to be talking about getting paid what you're worth. Because if you're not getting paid what you're worth, you have a hobby. I want to welcome John Ray from Atlanta, Georgia on the show today.
Don, what a joy it is to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm grateful.
I am too, John. How did you get into this line of work? What made you want to make people more resilient, getting paid what they deserve?
Because I needed the medicine myself. How about that? I left corporate, like a lot of people, involuntarily left corporate. So, I was laid off and started my own business advisory practice. And to make a long story short, I didn't know how to price what I was doing and what I was doing for clients. And I was doing good work for clients, but I didn't know how to price it. And it turns out, as I looked around, that's a problem with a lot of people. And, when you're in, you've got a small business, there are all sorts of resources out there about marketing and accounting and operations and whatnot. Not a lot about pricing. So in that book, Small Business for Dummies, the title of which I hate, because nobody's a dummy that has the courage to start a business. But in that book, it's about 250 pages, and a total of 4 pages are devoted to pricing. 4 out of 250. That tells you what the problem is. And so I got passionate about it. I wanted to fix this problem for myself, and I wanted to help others. As I got into it, I got really passionate about it. I ended up writing a book about it called The Generosity Mindset. And that's where, how I've oriented my practice today, is helping expert service providers price their worth much more effectively.
What a great book title. Love it. Love marketing. So where can people find that book? Is it on Amazon, or do you have it at Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, you can get it where all books are sold, as the old saying goes. I mean, any of your favorite brick and mortar stores, if they don't have it on the shelf, they can order it because they can get it through Ingram Spark. And then Amazon, of course, you can buy it there. So it's The Generosity Mindset.
Well, John, I've been working for myself for 14 years. I do HR consulting, and I know what you're talking about, and I'm guilty too, because I can do my work in my sleep, 33 years in HR. Why is it that we undervalue ourselves?
Well, I think part of it is, there are a couple answers to that question, but part of it is that we listen to our worst critic. And you know where our worst critic is? It's between our ears. We listen to all these mindsets that hold us back and all these voices that hold us back. So the voices of imposter syndrome, or comparison. You know, you compare yourself to someone else that you look up to or whatnot, and you say, I can never be like that person or what have you. The mindset of helping. I just want to help everyone, you know, and helping everyone sometimes creates a business that is not sustainable. You have to help the right people that can pay you what you're worth. So there are all these voices in our head that hold us back. You know, one of the things that I've learned along the way is that a lot of our mindsets about money get set when we're seven, by the time we're 7, 8 years old. So the way you were formed as a young child sticks with you, whether you know it or not. So those are some of the things that can hold us back when it comes to pricing our expertise. And it's an intensely personal thing to price what comes out of our head, right?
Absolutely. And you sound like a business coach also, beside being a consultant. So for the person who's just starting out, you know, how do they know how to price themselves? Or maybe there's somebody that's been out there a while that thinks they're undercharging.
Well, first of all, please don't survey the market. Please don't do that. Because here's what I found is that most of the people that I looked around to look at as models, they didn't know how to price what they were doing either. So by definition, if you're benchmarking against someone else and their price is wrong, yours will be too. The what we've got to lean into, and this is where the title of my book comes in, is creating a generous mindset in our head, the generosity mindset, I call it. And what that means is not giving everything away. I don't mean anything like that. What I mean is leaning into where other clients or our clients see value. And here's the thing, our clients see more value in us than we see ourselves. So, but maybe the way to illustrate this is to talk about, you know, when I work with a new client, one of the first things I do is I look at all their reviews. I look at what clients say about them. If I'm allowed to, or if it's part of my scope, I interview clients, talk to their clients, see what clients say about them. And you know what's so funny is that clients see value that we as providers, we don't see. They talk about peace of mind. They talk about stress relief. They talk about intangibles that we're not talking about in that sales process with clients, because we're focused on what we do, how we do what we do, our deliverables, our frameworks, our methods, and that's what we spend time talking about instead of outcomes that we help clients achieve. And that's where the value is.
I see. I love that, interviewing other people. Why is it that we don't see what they see? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
We don't ask enough questions. I mean, we're too busy trying to pitch and trying to make the sale. And yeah, we're supposed to make the sale. But we're really, first of all, we're supposed to serve. And the way you serve is to understand people's needs. And the way you understand their needs is to ask questions. Be curious. Ask what it would mean to them if you're able to deliver the outcomes that you are able to deliver. Can we talk about HR for a second?
Oh, I love HR. My favorite subject today.
I thought I'd get you on that one. So let's talk about being a fractional HR, CHRO, right? Fractional Chief Human Resources Officer. So where's the value? I mean, it's not in the employee handbook. I mean, that's a deliverable, right? But it's in less risk. I know that I don't have to worry in my business about issues around all the things that can go wrong with people. and things like a sexual discrimination lawsuit,
right?
A wrongful termination lawsuit. These things are costly, very costly. We're talking for the typical small business. We're talking about low six figures in a lot of different markets. I know here in Atlanta, the average cost of a settlement in for an HR matter is about $180,000.
I know that's true.
That's what we're talking about here, is saving a business owner from the stress relief from that is important. So the point is, that's where they see value. It's not in how you do it. It's the outcome. And we don't get to the point where we're asking questions is, well, you know what, what would it feel like if you don't have to worry about this? Like, what's been keeping you up at night? See, we don't ask these questions.
Yeah.
Right. We're too busy truncating the conversation so we can talk about us.
Absolutely. John, you know, I know working with a company, and they had problems with the people interaction, you know, getting along and such. And I remember having to work to remove somebody from the position. I won't give any names or anything like that. And I remember my client saying, I can't sleep at night. This person sent me texts at 11:30 at night. And after we professionally, because there's a right way to do it, psychological safety, you know, remove the person. We couldn't rehabilitate them. They weren't willing to change. You know, we had to remove them. I remember one of the best things that my client said, Dawn, I'm finally sleeping at night. And that is priceless. Well, tell the listeners a story. You don't have to give names or companies, you know, a success story where somebody's worked with you, the problems that they've had, and a great outcome that they had.
Yeah, well, I work with consultants, coaches, fractional executives on a variety of different fronts. And, you know, one client that I worked with was a senior move manager. So that seems a little unusual, but just think about what's involved in moving a senior to assisted living. That is a pretty specialized skill.
Yes.
And so the question for this business owner was, how do I do that? How do I differentiate myself? How do I do that? And for her, she could have easily gone down the marketing trail and you know, have the fancy website with all the pictures and so forth. But you know what it really gets into? It really gets into, you know, how do I ask the questions that reveal how much I understand about what a traumatic situation this is? That's really what was involved. And so one of the things that we did was introduce options. So good, better, best options that her clients could choose from. So, you know, if they want something, a rather basic offering of what she offers, then a client can pick that. Or if they want a premium experience, you know, they want a lot of add-ons that add to the value that they see, then they could choose that. Just introducing options in her business enabled the conversations to become less about is she the lowest bid, but more of a conversation around what was important to that client. You know, which of these elements are most important to you? And one of the things she told me recently is she had a client that said that the conversation that she had with that client, this client reported that, I got so much trust out of this, and you understood me so well and understood the situation so well that you're not the lowest price, but I'm going with you anyway. And her revenue is up after our work together was up 40% just off changes in pricing. And a lot of that falls to the bottom line, if not all of it falls to the bottom line, because there's no change in volume. Therefore, there's no change in expense. So that's a great outcome when you start talking about what pricing can do, is when it all drops to the bottom line.
Yeah, I'd say a 40% increase is definitely a good return of investment working with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you brought up good, best, and better, good, better, and best.
Right.
I've heard that before. I really like that. So what it sounds like, John, is you're offering somebody maybe a lower price package, a middle package, and a good package. Can you elaborate more on that? Give me some examples.
Yeah, absolutely. So good is kind of your basic option. So good is what you're not going to let any client go out the door without. The kind of the minimum of what Don or John or whoever, whoever you are, the minimum of what you're going to give a client. And maybe a little more, but it's basically the minimum basic package. You might call it the value meal from McDonald's. Okay. then you've got better, and better's got everything that's in good, but then a little more. And that a little more may be more time, more options, a different level of involvement. And, you know, that might be the, let's call it the, to use the McDonald's analogy, the quarter pounder, right? Mm-hmm. More the traditional sandwiches that McDonald's sells. Then you've got your best, and best is your premium offer. They want everything that Don can give. They want everything John can give. They want your full package. And because of time, they want to move fast, or, you know, whatever their considerations are, but they want the absolute best. And, you know, in McDonald's world, that's going to be, you know, a fancy one-of-a-kind kind of sandwich, limited time only kind of thing, right? And I use this analogy to McDonald's, but just to illustrate that this is common throughout the world. I mean, when you look around and you see, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Good, better, best is everywhere. It's in automobiles. It's in restaurants. It's in everywhere we can look. You can see this. And clients respond to this because it creates a conversation about how we're going to work together. What are the best options for you and your particular situation? What it does for the provider, it creates better fit clients. So your best fit clients can pay for premium. They want to pay for premium because they want more of you. There are some clients that they just want enough, just enough, and they're going to pick the good option, and you're going to give them that, but you're not going to service them the same way you service your premium clients. So, it's a good outcome for both the client and the service provider.
Well said. For the heart-centered people that have a hard time, John, for asking for a fair price, what advice would you give them if you feel they're not getting paid properly for their skill levels?
Yeah, so this is not about ripping people off. This is not about being unfair. You know, you're not the one making the decision here. I'm not. The client is. So what we've got to get out of our heads is that they're writing the check. It's their money, their check. They can decide not to. What they're looking for is value, and nobody will go into a transaction unless they get more value than they pay in price. So your job is to show them the value that they're going to get, and the value that they're going to get is often in their head, and that's where you got to ask the questions. And mm-hmm. and that is where better service comes from. I understand that the need and the desire to serve, but the mindset of helping, of over helping, mm-hmm. can put you out of business. And if you're out of business, you can't serve.
Right. You can't pay the electric bill either.
No, you're just not around. I mean, you've That's gone back sure. and got a job or whatever. You're by definition, you're gone.
You're gone. Well, John, you know, this happened to me recently. I know it happens to other people, entrepreneurs. They have a skill set. Maybe it's coaching. Maybe it's building something with their hands or whatever. And you get the friend or the person who wants to be your friend and they want to have the coffee. Let's get together and have coffee. I want to pick your brain. But they want to pick your brain for free, John.
Right.
What's your advice on that?
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah. And you've had your brain picked so many times, you've got bruises in your head, right? So, yeah. I mean, I think you've got to draw a line at a certain point, and that's a little different depending on the conversation, depending on the person you're talking to. But at a certain point, what you have to say is, I said this to someone that was, you know, trying to pick my brain the other day is, you know, I'm going to be in a position here where I'm giving away what my clients are paying for, and that's not fair to them. So what we need to do is stop and have a conversation about how and whether we'll work together. And if that's not acceptable, I understand, but I'm delighted that I could have helped you to this point.
That's a great way to filter them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing about it is what that it does is appeals to someone's basic sense of fairness. Right.
And
so
that.
The most people, unless they're just completely narcissistic, most people are going to respond okay to that.
And that makes total sense.
Yeah.
John, where does pro bono come in? Or does it ever come in if you're heart-centered and you like to help people and possibly they can't really truly pay you for whatever circumstance? They just don't have the money.
Yeah. Well, again, this is where you have to have boundaries about this. And you can't help everyone. No one can help everyone. I'm sorry. No matter what business you're in out there, you cannot help everyone. So your number one job is to keep yourself sustainable and yourself resilient so that you can serve and you'll be around to serve. That's your number one job. That's not selfish. That's actually being a better service provider than you would be otherwise. How can you help people if you're stressed out about whether you're paying your bills or not? You can't. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest about this. So, so what you've got to do is draw boundaries. And yes, I have people that I have helped up to a certain point. And, you know, I felt good about that, but I put limits on that. Because I've got to have enough paying clients to pay my bills, keep my bride happy. I mean, I've got to do all those things, right? And I can't go down a rabbit hole chasing everyone that needs help. One of the things I do since I've written a book is I get to a point, certain point where people, you know, in the brain picking and say, you know, look, you know, I write more about on this about my, in my book. So that's one of the reasons my book exists for people that maybe can't afford to engage my services. So, you can have resources on your website that help people, you know, if you haven't written a book. So there's a lot of ways to help, without giving away your entire business and putting yourself behind the eight ball.
I like that. I love what you said, John, about giving them a more affordable resource. Maybe they can't pay for your services for whatever reason. I do the same thing. What do you hope people get out of today's message, this conversation?
Well, what I would hope they get is to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. Everybody's got this problem. And I came out of I was on Wall Street for 30 years. Forgive me for that. But I dealt with big numbers. Okay. Lots of zeros. And I knew a lot about a lot of different things and was involved in some major transactions, but I didn't know how to price what I did. So know that you're not alone, but know that you don't have to be stuck. And know that your clients will tell you the value they see if you will just ask. If you'll make it a point to be curious and ask your clients, why do you keep doing business with me? I mean, you've got all these different options that you could, places you could turn. Why do you keep doing business with me? And you know what they'll tell you? And they'll tell you things that surprise you. And they'll tell you things that will change how you talk to other clients. And that's what I would recommend, is lean into what clients see, because they see more value in you than you see yourself.
You know, I have never heard it put that way, John.
Well, that's what I learned the hard way. You know, it's all about client perceived value. It's not about what we think. It's not about what I think I'm worth. I think I'm valuable. But you know what? My clients think I'm even more valuable than all that head trash says I'm worth. See, that's the wonderful thing. We don't have to worry about the head trash. We just lean into what clients think. And once we figure that out, it changes everything about your business, everything.
I want to ask some questions about your book as we get toward the end of the interview. Mm-hmm. What do you hope people get out of your book?
Joy.
I love joy.
And freedom. Why did you start your business? Why did we all start our business? Mm-hmm. We wanted joy and freedom, right? We wanted to get out of the corporate rat race, or you know, we wanted flexibility. You know, we've got children, we've got elderly parents, mm-hmm. or whatever our situation is. We wanted freedom to be able to live the life we wanted to live, but we wanted to have joy with it too. And I will tell you, most of the clients I work with, most of the clients have been in business a while and they don't have joy. They don't have joy because they're not pricing correctly and they're not making enough money and they're stressed. And so what I want for clients, this is the way I end my book. What I want for people that hear my message is joy is still out there. If you're upset with your business, you're frustrated, you're down, there's hope. There is hope. And the hope is leaning into where your clients see value. And if you'll make a practice of doing that, changes everything for you. You'll be able to price more effectively. You'll be able to price into the value they see, and you'll be better off for it, and you'll have joy restored to your business.
John, my last question to you, well, next to last, actually.
Okay.
What keeps you resilient?
I love that question. What keeps me resilient is, again, it gets back to what clients tell me. You know, and I ask. I ask for reviews. I mean, here's the thing. We don't ask for enough reviews. Ask for those reviews.
Oh, gosh, I'm guilty myself, John.
Well, we all are, right? I mean, we don't have enough of them. And when you're having a bad day, pull those things out and read them and get a reminder of the special person that you are, the professional that you are, that delivers fantastic work. You'll get that's the great thing about having reviews beyond what clients tell you that can help you price better and see value better. Those are great pick-me-ups. So ask Absolutely. For more reviews.
Awesome. You've given such sage advice. I commend you. 30 years on Wall Street. I've walked on the street, Wall Street, before. That's as close as I got to Wall Street. How can people reach out to you, find out more about you, John Ray, and your services?
Yeah, thank you, Dawn. Thank you again for having me on.
My pleasure.
John at johnray.co is the place you can email me directly, and I would love to hear from you. johnray.co, if you'd like to go to my website, That's the website address.